Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent. I'm here with my good friend Alan, and we are looking forward to getting to spend this time with you and talk about some things, hopefully, that will be encouraging to you. So Alan, give us a preview of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so late last year, we had another big time Christian pastor kind of get outed for his bad behavior. And someone had taken and written an article, someone who was not a believer had written an article and trying to figure out, understanding that pastors need to have some sense of cultural relevance. Mm. But they went away asking the question of, but I thought that Christians were supposed to be different. And since that time, there's just been kind of this settling in my heart of, you know, how do we balance that call to be relevant with that challenge to be different? Because, you know, I think both things are extremely important. So how do we strive for cultural relevance and cultural difference? And man, that seems like a tightrope that we have to walk.
It does. And it seems like that they're mutually exclusive. Relevance to our culture now would seem to say, I've got to fit into my culture now. But that's, God has called us to be different, to be set apart and holy. And so how in the world do I make an impact in my culture and stand out at the same time? So I think this is a great topic, Alan. I'm glad you put it together for us.
Well, you know, I think one of the things too, when we think about these things, there's a good biblical case for both. And I've met people who are anti either side, right? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't even think about relevance. And then I've had people, you know, who say, well, you know, we just got to fit in. We've got to fit in. You know, that's where it all begins. And, you know, there's a good case to be made for both. So let's start with the idea, you know, of relevance. I mean, if you don't get the idea that Jesus is the picture of becoming relevant, I don't know what you're reading. It says God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's a step down from where he was. I mean, he took on human flesh, and it says he experienced life fully God, fully man. So, you know, God became relevant in our setting, and so he experienced life as we do. So he certainly was relatable to a first century Jew.
Yeah, and you know, the word, what you just quoted, says that he became flesh and made his dwelling. That made his dwelling literally means to pitch a tent in the middle of, you know, and so he set up his tent beside us, you know, to experience the same things that we are. So he could be relatable to us, that when he's saying things to us, we understand that he's been there, done that.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's just important, you know, there was a time where, you know, people were looking at him, hey, isn't this just the son of Mary and Joseph? I mean, what's so special about him? He obviously, there was nothing that was just noticeably, oh my goodness, look how different he is from everyone else. And Jesus was certainly relevant in his day. But on the other hand, you know, Jesus was just like us, but he never sinned. And so he was different. He accomplished what we could not accomplish. He did what we in ourselves could not do. And when Jesus was teaching, he said, you need to be separate, set apart from the world. And so there's certainly the case on that side to say there should be something noticeably different about us. And that was certainly the nature of the early church. People were always commenting on how different people in the church were, and followers of Christ were different from other types of people. And so there's this balancing act, and we have to kind of figure out what we do with that.
I think part of the struggle is, you know, and I've seen a lot of people over the years, and we've read about it in history books, about people who have said, okay, that we're supposed to be different. That means we're supposed to totally physically separate from everything in the culture around us. But Jesus didn't do that. He pitched his tent beside us. He lived right smack in the middle of us. And I think as Christians, we're called to not physically separate from the culture, but to get right there in the middle of it, you know, living the same life, going to the same schools, going and doing those things that so that we understand what people are dealing with. If we're so separated, we can't talk to them because we don't understand what they're dealing with.
Yeah, I think that's important, and that's exactly what Jesus did. And so I've been trying to reconcile this, Trent. This mm-hmm. has kind of been a process in my life, and I came up with this way of saying it. So tell me what you think, that we need to be divinely relevant but culturally different. And what I mean by that is that we are there's a purpose in being relevant, and that purpose is mostly communication. That I need to communicate who God is and what He wants, and whatever how I choose to communicate. And you know, that's like a missionary, you know, going somewhere where no one wears a suit. You don't need to be wearing a suit. Right. You know, I mean, it can involve things like how we dress and all those things, because that communicates something. But there's a purpose in our relevance, and that's to communicate the truth of who God is. But we're also called to be culturally different. Jesus never sinned. And what I have actually seen is this almost, well, I want to be relevant. So I'm just going to do whatever other lost people are doing. And then because I'm sinning with them, I can tell them about Jesus. And that doesn't work. We're to be culturally different. We are not to give in to the schemes of the world in this.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. And it becomes, if we just do everything that everyone else does, then our message becomes so weak, because they're like, well, it must not make a difference in your life. Why in the world would I want to make it in my life? And, you know, I was thinking about, as you're reading through that, Alan, I was thinking about, okay, you mentioned like somebody wearing a suit, a missionary wearing a suit, when nobody's wearing, you know, everybody's wearing shorts and t-shirts. Or, you know, back in the Middle Ages, back when Martin Luther was around, and we read about him, that the priest would only read scripture in Latin. Nobody that they're reading it to could understand it. And so he fought and struggled and, you know, wrote the scripture out in the everyday German so that the people around him could actually understand what God's word was saying. And I feel like that's kind of, we're the interpreters for our community of what God's trying to say to them.
Yeah, and I think that where we oftentimes just go so wrong is this idea that we have to fit in. I just want to fit in. I want to fit in. And that's really, I think, the wrong place to begin. Whenever you begin the conversation with trying to fit in, you're gonna take a wrong turn in there somewhere. Right. I think it has to begin with the idea that I'm here to communicate. How do I communicate? And I think we have to get the right question. We all struggle to fit in. I mean, you and I are both Gen Xers, right? You know, but in your church, you have boomers. There's probably a handful of busters still around. You know, then there's millennials. And I think millennials are really two separate groups. I think there's older millennials and younger millennials, or married millennials and single millennials. You know, and then your Gen Z is in there too. And if you're trying to be relevant to all of them all the time, it's not going to work anyway, right? If the goal is to fit in, you do your best to fit in, just like Paul did. But Paul wasn't going to reach everyone. It still took Apollos. It took Barnabas. It took, you know, it takes a lot of different people. And you, at some point in time, you have to recognize that it's more about how you communicate than just trying to fit in.
Right. Well, and we start looking fake, right? If we try to become something, well, I'm going to fit into the, if I were to try to fit into the Gen Z, they're like, what? You know, if I talk the same way, wear the same things, it just doesn't come across.
You have your skinny jeans on Sunday?
I did.
Yeah. You know, Trent, a few years ago, I was at a conference. It was a great conference. I'm really glad I went. But it was kind of a a conference that appealed to church, young church planters. Mm-hmm. So most of the people there were in their 20 somethings. I was already, you know, in my 40s by that point in time. And I go to this conference and this guy gets up to preach and speak. And there was a mall not far by. And then I'm serious. The next day, everyone had on the exact same type of clothes that the guy had on the day before, you know, and thinking, oh, well, you know, if I just change my appearance on Sunday, then all of a sudden, you know, more people are going to come to Jesus. And man, we miss the point. We miss the point when it's that way. And so I've got a question and the kind of the beginning point. Do we spend more time picking out our clothes than we spend in prayer? Mm. You know, that's a good question to find out if relevance is a problem or not a problem. And, you know, which are you spending more time on Sunday morning?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Yeah.
I've wrestled at times with what to wear on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's why I have my wife help. Because otherwise it looks like I got dressed in the dark, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I realized last night I put on two separate socks. Oh, well. But yeah, you know, are we really praying that God would just give us, you know, effective communication? Are we spending time working about those things? You know, are we more concerned about how people see us?
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes we're more concerned about how people see us, and then, you know, are we more worried about how the message comes across? Do we want people to feel good, and do we want them to pat us on the back? Or are we more concerned about making a clear message? Because clarity is relevance, right? I mean, sometimes you can be clear and it's not a pat you on the back kind of sermon.
That's true. But think about this, Alan, and maybe I'm way off, but it's not us that needs to be relevant. It's God's word and his love that needs to be relevant and shine through. If I'm worried about what people think of me, then I'm missing the boat. Instead of, you need to hear about God's, the good news, the love of God. And so that's what needs to be relevant.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of what God has been showing me and teaching me. And I've heard this conversation, you know, people getting frustrated about the issue of relevance, you know, well, we're too relevant, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, can you be too relevant? I mean, I don't think the issue is relevance. I think is relevance about me, or is it about God's kingdom and what I'm called to do? I think that there is a fine line in there. You know, if you're not being true to how God has created you and wired you up and all those kinds of things to communicate his message, you know, then you're not relevant, right? Like, you know, when I was coming up through seminary, you know, I'd listen to two pastors most of the time on the radio. I loved Chuck Swindoll and Tony Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. I'm certainly neither of those two, and I shouldn't try to be. You know, other people were listening to other pastors, and, you know, I never had that big booming voice and all this and that. And so it would be foolish for me to try to be that kind of preacher. But I am one that can kind of just put my arm up on the platform and on a table or on the pulpit and say, I'm working through this too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who I am. And I find that if I'm true to myself too, that makes me more relevant to the people around me.
Well, this is what came to mind, Alan. You remember the story of Esther. And she's living with her uncle, and she doesn't want to do the hard things. And he says to her, who knows but that you were born for such a time as this. And we are placed here on purpose, for a purpose, by God, who has placed us here for such a time as this. And so I don't need to be Chuck Swindoll. I don't need to be somebody else. I need to be me, because God is going to use me. And not only am I here for such a time as this, but he has put those opportunities in place before I was even born. Because of that, I need to be me and live out the life that God's called me to live, and live but live it for his glory instead of mine.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that that is one of the beauties in it. I think that's one of the things that maybe the generation younger than us is actually, maybe they're better on that side of being unique and mm-hmm. being willing to stand out in their personal life. But just like all of us, they struggle too with maybe at times going too far into, well, because I want to do this or this is who I am, I can go this far. But that cultural difference side says too, we don't, that there's lines that we just don't cross. Mm-hmm. And one of my fears too is I see many pastors crossing lines thinking that they're doing that for the sake of relevancy. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be careful with that. And you know, in this day and age where we're all fired up about so many things, you know, we've come through a very contentious election cycle, you know, it's certainly possible too that we can spend all of our time preaching about politics and nationalism, or not preaching about politics and nationalism, you know, right. all this kind of stuff, Trent. I mean, well, you certainly have some thoughts there about relevancy.
Yeah, you know, thinking about that, I understand. I think that Christians need to be involved in politics. I think Christian people need to be running for office and doing those things. The thing that we struggle with as a church, though, is that sometimes we hitch our wagon to some candidate to the detriment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we get so fired up about a presidential candidate or whomever that we lose the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with half the population or more than half the population. And so I think we have to be careful about letting politics or nationalism, you know, we get so caught up in, well, God working in America. Well, what about the rest of the world? Yes, I'm an American and I'm proud to be an American, but I also pray for the rest of the world because we need everyone to come to Jesus Christ.
Well, and I think that's what we have to remember is that, you know, judgment does not begin in White Houses or in parliaments or, you know, even in the homes of dictators. It begins with the house of God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible's very clear on that teaching, that, you know, our nation will not rise and fall because of good candidates or bad candidates. It will rise and fall because of faithfulness to God from among his people or mm-hmm. unfaithfulness to God among his people. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Mm-hmm. And we really need to put the emphasis where it belongs. And that's on what God wants to do in the hearts and lives of people. Mm-hmm. And if we will keep that there, that's important. Now, when we say all that, that doesn't mean we should ignore everything that's going on in the world, though. You know, mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that pushed me maybe too far into the relevancy thing was what happened after 9/11. You know, when I was reading about churches that pastors got up the Sunday after 9/11 and never mentioned what had happened at the Twin Towers, never mentioned what happened with the terrorist attacks. And what a missed opportunity. That's what was on people's minds. That's what they needed pastors to explain. Where do we go from here? You know, when our security and our sense of safety and what we've taken for granted has been taken from us, you know, and if we failed to talk about the current events that were important and on people's minds, we missed a point. If you've not talked about COVID in your church, you know, you've pretended like it's not really going on, even though you're online, even though you're not having your small groups, even though yeah. you're not having meals and you're not talking about it. I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. I mean, you are missing an opportunity. And so we certainly need to make sure that we are talking about things that are important to people.
Well, with current events, though, you know, are we preaching to lead our people toward God and faith in Him and living out the character that God calls us to live out? Or are we preaching to push them away and to make them look the opposite of what God has called us to be? And so, you know, yes, relevancy, and we need to talk about the things that are going on right now, but it always needs to aim toward God.
Yeah, and that's where that cultural difference comes in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the anger of the world is no match for the love of God.
That's right.
And we need to remember that's the cultural difference. The cultural difference is that we can stand against the tide of wickedness, and and standing against that is not oftentimes what the world's idea of standing against that is. And I think that's where we have to be different. We have to dare to be different. Is in actually, when it says that God, you know, Jesus pitched his tent among us, what was that tent? You know, for God so loved the world.
That's right.
And that's who we're called to be. That's how you ultimately bridge this gap. Mm-hmm. Is remember that God loved the world. Not I love the world, not you know, not even my church love the world. God loved the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to communicate that to other people. And how do I do that? And so you know, we ask that question, you know, are people only hearing what we're against and not what we're for? Yes. And I think really that relevant question for us and what makes us different is what we do stand for. Mm-hmm. And that, I really think that standing for something and standing for people certainly helps us in that. And that doesn't mean we always agree with people, but we can still stand for them.
That's right. We don't always agree with the folks in our church. Are you kidding? And so, but we always need to agree on the things that God says. And we are for people coming to know Jesus. We are for people experiencing the love of God. And we can focus on that. When other people are pointing and pulling people toward a person, we are pointing and pulling people toward a God who is real and live and has made the first effort to show us the love that he has.
Well, Trent, I'm sure that some people have maybe some questions about what it means to be divinely relevant and culturally different, or maybe we could have done a better job with it, or they want to add in some extra thoughts on that. So, sure. Trent, how would they reach out to us?
Well, and we would encourage you to reach out to us. And you know, if you want to talk about this episode or you have ideas for other episodes, please contact us. You can contact us on Facebook at Enduring Churches, or enduringchurches.com is our website. You can also email us at Trent, T-R-E-N-T, at enduringchurches.consulting, and Alan, A-L-A-N, at enduringchurches.consulting. And we want to talk with you about these things, or help you to maybe think through some things that you're dealing with in your community. How are you relevant in your community?
Yeah, so we can come alongside. We can even offer you and your church a consultation where we kind of go in and take an in-depth look at your church. And we'd love to be able just to walk alongside you and help you any way we can. But again, we are so grateful that you take time to tune in to us. And we certainly hope that this conversation was relevant to you today. But anyway, we look forward to catching you next week when we continue to help you and your church endure.